I want to read a little bit to begin with out of Ether. I want to begin in the end of the fourth chapter. And this tells a little bit of the problems that these people had. I want to begin with the 111th verse. That's on page 745. And it came to pass that Coriantor dwelt in captivity all of his days. And in the days of Coriantor, there also came many prophets and prophesied of great and marvelous things, and cried repentance unto the people. And except they should repent, the Lord would execute judgment against them to their utter destruction, and that the Lord would send or bring forth another people to possess the land by the power after the manner which he brought their fathers. And they did reject all the words of the prophets because of their secret society and wicked abomination. And it came to pass that Coriantor begot Ether, and he died, and he dwelt all, and having dwelt in captivity all of his days. Now this would be a pretty sad thing. They had been under the rule of someone else all of their days. And there had been many prophets come before them and prophesied great things unto them. And the people would not listen unto them. Now, how different is that from what has happened or is happening this very day? Here this was about, Book of Mormon doesn't have the dates at the bottom of the page, but I should imagine this is something over 3,000 years ago. And this could almost be a blueprint of what is happening today in the world. That people are not listening to the prophets. They are not heeding the words that's being told unto them. And a lot of people would say, if a prophet came amongst us today, we would listen, we would hear it, and we would pay attention. A lot of people said that if Christ would have been born today, we would have heeded his words and would have paid attention. And I doubt that many more people today, or many of the people that are living today, would have done any differently if they had lived then and Christ was born. But these prophets came and told them what needed to be done, and they wouldn't heed the words. And this kind of brings us to mind of something that has happened in the last few weeks. I suppose throughout the whole United States, they heard of that flood that went down the big Thompson Canyon. And the sad part of it is that almost without exception, everyone there that drowned was warned three times. People went through and told them that there was a flood coming. A lot of them said, well, we're just getting ready to put our charcoal in, we're going to cook our steaks. Many of the people would have had it gone less than 200 feet to be in safety up the side of the canyon. But they wouldn't heed the warnings. Now that is a strange thing. I believe that if any of us would have been told that, I hope that if anyone would have told us that left the area, that we would have gone and gone right there. But they didn't believe it was going to happen. The same as these people at the time of Ether did not believe that the Lord was going to allow them to be destroyed. They didn't believe that. They were a chosen people, and they had came from the Tower of Babel and had been protected and brought to this country and had lived in a land that was promised and blessed above all other lands in the world. And they lived for a good many years. But it wasn't going to continue, was it? He said that he was going to bring another people, just like he had brought their forefathers. And he did bring another people. And we can go down into the ruins in the old Mexico, and we can find where that first group of people lived. Part of the ruins, there was a civilization. And they flourished, and they prospered. And they dwindled and fell away, and they died, the last person. There wasn't one of them that has had any relatives. There was no people left. There was one man when Lehi and Nephi and those arrived here. There was one man left upon this continent, and he was found. They talked to him a short while, and he lived a few, I forget whether it was weeks or months or years, it was a very short time, and he died. All these people did not have to have this happen, but they did. They allowed it to happen to them. I want to read on in this fifth chapter. We'll go into some faith. Really, I don't want to talk on faith tonight, but it's hard to read any scripture where you don't have to touch upon faith or repentance, baptism, or prayer or something. And it came to pass in the days of Eter, were in the days of Coriantumr, and Coriantumr was king over all the land, and Eter was a prophet of the Lord. Wherefore Eter came forth in the days of Coriantumr and began to prophesy unto the people, for he could not be restrained because of the Spirit of the Lord which was in him. That must have been a wonderful thing, wasn't it? But still, there wasn't very many people who heeded these words. And he did cry from the morning even unto the going down of the sun, exhorting the people to believe in God, unto repentance, lest they should be destroyed, saying unto them that by faith all things are fulfilled. We can stop and meditate upon that for a long time. By faith, all things are fulfilled. Wherefore, whosoever believeth in God might with surety hope for a better world. And this is the truth, isn't it? All people that believe in God can hope for a better world. And we could have a better world right here, and we know that there will be a better world to come. Yea, even a place at the right hand of God, which hope cometh of faith, maketh an anchor to the souls of men, which would make them sure and steadfast, always abounding in good works, being led to glorify God. If we do these things, keep those commandments, and have faith, we will abound in good works, and we will glorify God. Now, what would you say would glorify God? If I asked any particular person, say, what would it be to glorify God? One thing would be of keeping His commandments. But in our class this evening, in the young people, we mentioned that a people that's a God-fearing people is an ambitious people. They work diligently. Because they want to glorify God. They want to be a good example before the people they come in contact with. They're going to attempt to keep up their property. They're going to attempt to make a living for themselves. And they're going to try to have a good appearance. Now we find that the later generations of the Nephites that fell away, they didn't glorify God. And they become a filthy and a loathsome people. And they didn't need to be. They could have continued to glorify God, and He would have blessed them. And I often think of the Digger Indians. It was on the West Coast, I suppose around the Los Angeles area, I'm not real sure. But they fell so far from a civilized state that the way they lived was they turned over rocks, made insects, made them. This is their main diet. Doesn't sound very good to us, does it? And if you can imagine, that was along the coast of California, probably in some of the most fertile areas in the world. And this is the way those people lived and ate. Had they been a delightsome people and sought after the Lord, they'd have never fallen into this state. But they did. They fell into that state. The same as many other Indians in the United States and in Central America. They lived a very loathsome life, and they didn't need to. And it came to pass that Ether did prophesy great and marvelous things unto the people, which they did not believe, because they saw them not. And now I, Moroni, would speak somewhat concerning these things. I would show unto the world that faith is things which is hoped for and not seen. Wherefore, dispute not the things ye see not, for ye receive no witness until after a trial of your faith. For it is by faith that Christ showed himself unto our fathers after he had risen from the dead. And he showed not himself unto them until after they had faith in him. Wherefore, it must needs be that some had faith in him, for he showed himself not unto the world. But because of the faith of men, he showed himself unto the world and glorified the name of the Father, and prepared a way that thereby others might be partakers of the heavenly gift, that they might hope for those things which they have not seen. I think all of us here have hope for things that we haven't seen. I'm sure all of us hope that someday that all of us will be, after death, will be reunited together in a perfect body and perfect health. Now, we haven't really seen this, but I think all of us hope this and believe it and know that it can happen. Wherefore, you may always have hope and be partakers of the gift, if you will, but have faith. Behold, it was by faith that they of old were called after the holy order of God. Wherefore, by faith was the law of Moses given. But in the gift of his Son, God hath prepared a more excellent way. Does anybody here remember what that more excellent way is? To get to show the, I show thee a better, more excellent way, and I believe that you'll find it is charity, right? You have to have charity. And it is by faith that it hath been fulfilled. For if there be no faith among the children of men, God can do no miracle among them. Wherefore, he showed not himself until after their faith. Now, these people that Ether was preaching to, they wouldn't heed these words. Consequently, there couldn't be any miracle amongst them. Oh, likely there was a few, the same as there was at the time of Christ, there was a few that believed, and there was some miracles performed, but nothing like the things that could have been done if the people as a whole would have believed. Behold, it was by faith that Alma had an amulet that caused the prison to tremble to the earth. And we can remember in the scripture, in the Bible, where the prison shook and the doors were open. Of course, can remember that. Had there not been faith at that time, I shall assure you that prison wouldn't have been open. But by faith, it was done. Behold, it was the faith of Nephi and Lehi that wrought the change upon the Lamanites, that they were baptized with fire and with the Holy Ghost. Behold, it was the faith of Ammon and his brethren, which wrought so great a miracle upon the Lamanites. Yea, and even all they who wrought miracles, wrought them by faith, even those who were before Christ, and also those who were after. And this would tell us that this would come like to this day, wouldn't it? And it was by faith that the three disciples obtained a promise that they should not taste of death, and they obtained not the promise until after their faith. And we remember the story that three of the disciples of Christ desired to stay and to remain there until Christ came again. And we could read that over in 3 Nephi, the 13th chapter. And neither at any time hath any wrought miracles until after their faith. Wherefore, they first believed in the Son of God. Now notice here, they first believed, see. We've got to have hope also, and a desire to do that which is right, and then we can expect these other things to start to fall into place. And there were many whose faith was so exceeding strong, even before Christ came, who could not be kept from within the veil, but truly saw with their eyes the things which they had beheld with an eye of faith, and they were glad. And behold, we have seen in this record that one of those was the brother of Jared, for so great was his faith in God, that when God put forth his finger, he could not hide it from the sight of the brother of Jared, because of his word which he had spoken unto him, which word he had obtained by faith. So if this could have been done thousands of years ago, we know full well it could be done today. And if it's become necessary, Christ could show himself unto us this very time. And we know that the Lord will prophesy unto his people, and he will give them guidance and direction. But I wonder how many people would really listen if he done it. I want to go over here into Mosiah in the 7th chapter. Beginning with the 45th verse. And this is another time when a righteous prophet of the Lord came forth to tell the people what was going to happen, and no one would listen. In fact, when Abinadi appeared to the people to prophesy to them, King Noah was very bitter and wanted him sought out. But he fled, and they weren't able to lay their hands upon him. And we'll begin over here with the 45th verse. And it came to pass that after the space of 2 years, that Abinadi came among them in disguise, that they knew him not, and he began to prophesy among them, saying, Thus hath the Lord commanded me, saying, Abinadi, go and prophesy unto this people, this my people, for they have hardened their hearts against my words. They have repented not of their evil doings. Now here was a man going to go out and tell the people these things. We read over here where he either went out and he prophesied or preached unto the people from the morning until the going down of the sun. And if we went over into Helaman, we could read about Samuel the Lamanite when he stood upon the walls of the city and preached to the people and tried to tell them what was going to happen, and they wouldn't heed his words. He said, they have repented not of their evil doings. Therefore I will visit them with mine anger. Yea, in my fierce anger will I visit them, in their iniquities, in their abominations. Yea, woe be unto this generation. Now this is a strange thing, isn't it? Or right over here in Ether, it told these, that these people, if they didn't keep the commandments, that they were going to be destroyed and another people would replace them. Now, here is the people that replaced them, and they were going the same way that the people in Ether went. Therefore I will visit them in my anger. And I will assure you that the anger of the Lord will be a frightful thing. In my fierce anger will I visit them in their iniquity and their abominations. Yea, woe be unto this generation. And the Lord said unto me, stretch forth thy hand, and prophesy, saying, thus saith the Lord, it shall come to pass that this generation, because of their iniquities, shall be brought into bondage, and shall be smitten on the cheek, yea, and shall be driven by men, and shall be slain, and the vultures of the air, and the dogs, yea, and the wild beasts shall devour their flesh. Now this wouldn't happen to a righteous people, would it? But it was happening to them. And it shall come to pass that the life of King Noah shall be valued even as a garment in a hot furnace. For he shall know that I am the Lord. And it shall come to pass that I will smite this my people with sore afflictions, yea, with famine, and with pestilence, and I will cause that they shall howl all the day long, and I will cause that they shall have hard burdens lashed upon their backs, and they shall be driven before like dumb asses. And it shall come to pass that I will send forth hail among them, and I shall smite them, and they shall also be smitten with the east wind, and insects shall pester their land and devour their grain, and they shall be smitten with a great pestilence. And all this will I do because of their iniquities and their abominations. And this is written here that we might read it and we might know what happened to those people. And if we would read all through here, we'd find that this is pretty well what did happen. And we've read in the scripture that in the last days there would be pestilence come upon us. And that would be because of the unrighteousness of man. The same as it happened at this time. And this was a good many years before the birth of Christ. When the people become unrighteous and unholy and didn't seek after the Lord, he allowed these things to come upon them. We could go into the scripture in the Old Testament where there was a famine for 3 years because of the unrighteousness of the people. And when we think that it couldn't happen to us today, we should take a closer look at what's happened in the past and what was promised for the future. But again, we don't need to be played with this if we will seek after the Lord and if we will keep his commandments and walk uprightly before him. But if we don't do these things, we can rest assured that we will be played the same as this group of people here was played. We know that this land is a promised land above all lands. And the Lord said that the people would be blessed here as long as they kept the commandments of the Lord. And when they cease to do that, then these plagues would come upon them. I want to read a few verses out of Jacob here. On page 173. I want to read the second chapter, 48 and 49th verse. But behold, I, Jacob, will speak unto you that are pure in heart. Look unto God with firmness of mind, and pray unto him with exceeding faith, and he will console you in your affliction, and he will plead your cause, and send down justice upon those who seek your destruction. And that's quite a promise, isn't it? This is what we can expect if we kept the commandments of the Lord. He will console you in your affliction. And this is something that would be pretty comforting, wouldn't it, if we had the Lord to console us. And he will send justice upon those who seek your destruction. Now, I believe that if we were a righteous nation, that no one would dare come up against us. I believe any nation that was righteous. If you found a group of people in Africa or in South America, a goodly number of people that was righteous and kept the commandments, it would be virtually impossible for any nation to come in and overthrow them, because the Lord would allow it to happen. I want to read one verse out of James. In the second chapter of James, 26th verse. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is also dead. Now the people, the church, if we don't have a spirit, we're going to be dead. And faith without works also is dead. And we're going to have faith, we're going to have works, and we're going to have to do the will of the Lord to keep his commandments. And if we do that, then we're going to receive some of these blessings that he's promised unto us. And I think most of the people here strive to keep those commandments. Because if we didn't strive to keep them, we wouldn't be here tonight. The majority of the people in the world aren't in church on Sunday evening. And a pretty good percentage of them aren't in church on Sunday morning. But we seek to do the will of the Lord and to keep his commandments. And we come to church and try to find out what we should do. And by seeking the will of the Lord, by studying his word, we're able to understand a little bit and to find out what we should do. It's like I've often said about driving a car. If a person learns enough, soon enough, he may live quite a while. And the same way with the scripture. If we learn enough and put into practice what we learn, we're going to have a pretty good life. And above all, when the last day cometh, that we're going to be found in the camp of the Lord. I want to read a few verses out of 2 Nephi and the 2nd and 11th chapter.
I want to read one verse, 145.
For behold, I am God, and I... For behold, I am God, and I am God, a God of miracles, and I will show unto the world that I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I will work nothing among the children of men, save it be according to their faith. Now we know that lots of people have faith in the Lord. They believe there is a Lord. But over here in James said that faith without works, or some worship, that they're dead. The same as the body without the spirit is dead. So just to believe or to have faith in something isn't quite enough. We have also got to put into action and do some work about it. But if we have faith, this is surely this is one of the first steps. I don't know which comes first, faith, hope, or whatever it might be, but they all work pretty close together.